Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'm...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. No matter what's going on in the world or going on in your life, we can rejoice in the Lord because we know that He has everything under control, and we can trust in the Lord God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I just wanted to read a scripture for you today in Psalm 84:10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So, amen. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And surely we see wickedness abounding in these last days. But we know that God has a church. He has a glorious church. And nothing can defeat the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are victorious in Jesus. Amen. Our topic today is going to be Syria and Egypt, and my guest will be Christine Weick. She is the author of Explain This. It's a verse-by-verse description of the book of Revelation, so that's what we are going to be talking about today. And, of course, we see Egypt has been in the news lately. Syria has been in the news, and we will find out what the Bible says about these two countries. We know that Jesus was in Egypt when he was a baby, and so Egypt has a very old history. Extremely old. It's an old country. So, and Syria, I think Damascus is the oldest city, if I'm not mistaken. Now, that's pretty old when you think about it. Now, I'm one that believes that the earth is a little bit over 6,000 years old. I don't believe the earth is millions of years old. But I know some people do. They believe that we came from apes. Of course, I don't see any apes teaching at the universities. I don't think so. I don't think we came from apes. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. And you can read the book of Genesis and see the story of creation there. But these two countries have a very long history. We know that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so we're going to find out exactly what is going on in the world and how we are going to be affected by it. But I do want to mention something. My friend Jonathan Rivado, or Rivetto, he does video production. Now, he did work for TBN, So he does have experience. He's also a graduate of Regent University. That's Pat Robertson School. He has professional services of video, editing, graphics, DVD, authoring. And I wanted to mention that because I know I myself was looking for someone to help me with my video production. And so you can contact Jonathan at his website, and I put it up in the chat room, Jonathan Rovetto, Rovetto.com, and you can find out more. And he does like to work with ministries or anybody really that needs the services, and he said he's very reasonably priced. So I know I do some work on YouTube, and I need help with my videos because I just know how to use Windows Movie Maker, and I barely know how to use that. And I'm willing to learn myself so that I can improve my production so they look more professional. And even though we do get a lot of traffic on YouTube. Since I've been up on YouTube, I've had a couple million hits on my the two channels that I had there. So it is a really good outreach. And you don't need $1 million to go on television. You can go on YouTube, and you can reach millions there. And it's free. You don't have to send in any seed faith offerings or vows or tithe money or anything like that. Anybody can have a ministry just by opening up your mouth and using the tools that we have available for us. And thank God for the internet, because there's so many wonderful tools out there for us to use to get the gospel out. So I'm going to bring on my guest. Hi, Christine.
And hello, Susan. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you on, my brave sister.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, my
I don't know if
comes
you want
from
to,
the it, Lord. It doesn't come from within me.
I'm telling you, this sister is brave because she went down to a rally.
Where
homosexuals were marching. Now, where did that take place?
That was at the Capitol. So this was a statewide event. It was in the Lansing Capitol of Michigan, and a huge, huge rally. And it's this was their 24th year of petitioning the Capitol. And
oh.
They said that this was the largest rally ever.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can see that they're starting to grow in number. And in fact, I had a number of lesbians and gays that were taunting me. Of course, there's some on both sides. Some are very courteous and kind and just want to talk, and other people will taunt and mock your nail polish even. I mean, if you gotta be really perfect in order for them not to mock you about something.
Oh well, yeah, well.
And, and then there was the ones that taunts that said, "Yeah, we're gonna rule this someday." And I thought to myself, I says, "That is a prophecy that may come true. We are going to rule someday." And I thought, yeah, as God gives you over more and more. As good becomes evil and evil,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, that's quite a statement. And they're starting to realize that they're gaining momentum and they're gaining power. And eventually, Michigan will be a gay, you know, marriage state. Right now,
yeah.
It is not.
Oh.
But I think what was really disheartening, there's, of course, a lot of disheartening, a lot of disturbing things that occur there. But I think the most disturbing was seeing the police car and the fire department lead the parade, the city of Lansing, mm-hmm. having the gay flag draped over their vehicle as they went through the streets.
Wow.
That I thought was, like I said, just disturbing to see a major city give over to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, you did. Were you attacked at this rally?
Yes, I was attacked. But you know what? It ended up being very good. I learned a very big lesson. I learned this lesson from doing a rally before. I hold a very large vinyl sign. It's 4 foot by 4 foot, and it's supported by plastic PVC pipes, so I'm not having to, you know, outstretch my hands to unroll it. It's already unrolled and supported on some small little, a plastic bracket. And I had no problem at the Capitol. There were four of us all together. There was probably 10,000 gays there, and four Christians standing up. It was, to me, I'm just like, I called all the churches in Lansing let them know, and I couldn't believe it. Four of us were standing there, and we had about 20 police presence. So we had plenty of police, and so we were bold enough to talk loudly. And I was reciting the Bible, Romans chapter 1, just word for word, just because a lot of them had no idea what Romans 1 said, because I have it written on my sign, read Romans chapter 1.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, of course, talk very loudly because we couldn't use a megaphone. And people would listen. They would stop and listen. So I'm going to use this opportunity while I have protection. And, of course, people would shout back, you know, shut up. And of course, you know, every language you can imagine. But
yeah.
I would speak louder. And then the person next to me would start on something else. So we would have, you know, kind of a wave of preaching, so to say. But it was when I was down to the festival, I lost my three people. They went on and went home, and I intended to stay the entire day since I had driven an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I went to their festival, and I don't stand in their festival. I do respect the property that they have rented for the day.
Yeah.
And I am across the street or across by an intersection, so they know I'm there, but I am not in with them. And I stood, and I had no problem. And when I stand, and, oh, I had no police. There was nothing. So this is when I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to give me some strength here. And that is when I keep my mouth shut. I don't incite the crowd. I don't start yelling out the Bible. I let my sign speak and just leave it be.
Yeah.
If they approach me with a good attitude, I will respond quietly. Like a lot of them will stand in front of me and say, ma'am, can you please explain why you're here? I will talk to that person.
Yeah.
But when I have somebody come up to me and go, well, look at you. Aren't you special? Then I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't even give them eye contact.
No, no.
So I've learned that. Well, I was there for 15 minutes, and I had a couple come up alongside of me. They were, like, surprised to see me, and I did not know them. And they were holding their own homemade signs. And they had something written on them, which I never did read, but they were, you know, in support with me. You know, they were talking to the crowd.
Yeah.
But the problem was the man had a megaphone.
Oh.
And he started shouting out, okay, you faggots, listen to me. And that, I just went, oh, Lord, we're going to have a problem.
Oh, no.
And sure enough, within minutes, they had a crowd around them. And I am standing just 10 feet away because we're using the same part of the intersection. And he started talking, you know, very vulgar, and then he started talking about kicking somebody in the face if they touched him, and you do not do that. I mean, you don't back down, but at the same time, you know your place. And what he
didn't go there to pick fights either. That's idiotic.
He went there to pick a fight, and...
Yeah.
Immediately, I could see one of the girls there was so upset. Her body was literally shaking. I could see her so angry, and I was being ignored, which was fine. But she was so visibly shaking that I actually went over, you know, they're only 10 feet away. I laid a hand on the shoulder of the woman who was holding the sign, and I was going to say, you guys have got to keep it quieter. And I thought, someone's got to call 911. And I basically got drowned out. She didn't even know that I was trying to tell her, please keep it calm down. We've got to do things different.
Yeah.
The girl that was shaking took the sign from the girl or the woman that was holding the sign and tore it, just tore it. I mean,
wow.
It was just a poster thing, so she tore it, and that incited somebody else to take the man's sign. Oh, no. Then I'm like, and the first thing out of my mind was, Lord, you better give me strength. You got to give me strength here to know what to do is basically what I did. And at that point, I heard somebody yell, two down, one more to go.
They were coming for your sign.
And I'm like, oh, no. So she, the woman who ripped up the sign, was now emboldened because she
had
now a cheering section.
Yeah.
She ripped my sign from out of my hands and broke the brackets. So the sign was, you know, able to be folded up. But the thing is, it's vinyl, and she couldn't rip it.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, I mean, this is all like a blur at this point. This is when I did not even think. A man grabbed the sign, my sign. A man grabbed it from her and ran out into the intersection. Now, I'm talking, this is an intersection with traffic, with a traffic light.
Yeah.
He ran into the intersection and proceeded to try and tear my sign while the crowd was hooting and hollering for him to do so.
Oh, my word. Sounds like a lynch mob.
Oh, it was. I don't know what in the world. I didn't even think. I flew. Now, I had flip-flops on, so you got to understand, I ran like a deer. I don't know how else I could explain it. I ran right. I went right through the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, I went right through, and that guy had my sign, and that was my message.
Yeah.
And I jumped. He was a foot and a half taller than me. This was a tall man.
Uh-huh.
And I jumped. I remember jumping on his neck and taking him down to the pavement. And then he fell like a broken branch, Susan. He just flopped. I don't know. I mean, I weigh probably 140 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And I'm only 5'5". This guy had to be 6.5 feet tall.
Oh.
And he just flopped right in front of me, and I took my sign. Well, at that point, I could feel somebody on top of me.
Oh, no.
So they were now on top of me. I got dragged by my hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I incredible amount of hair came out the next day. But,
no.
I got dragged by my hair probably was dragged for about 4 or 5 feet. And I was holding my sign around me as I got kicked in my side. I could feel
somebody
kicked me. And then I could feel the pop on top of me. Somebody dumped their drinks on top of me. And then, so this is all a blur at this point, and then I heard somebody yelling,
unbelievable.
Stop it. Leave her alone. We don't do this. And whoever was pulling my hair got shoved. And I had a group now coming from the festival because they're seeing all this playing out. And I'm in the middle of the road right now, and traffic has stopped. And I'm sitting. I don't know where the tall gentleman went. I wanted to apologize to him if he was hurt. But at the same time, he took my sign.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I protected my property, but I did not mean to hurt him. And all I could hear was, ma'am, are you okay? Ma'am, are you okay? And there were two or three men that actually came around me, and they were gay. They came around me and helped me to my feet and told everybody, leave her alone. You all stay away. And I think at that point, God put it in their heart. Instead of to incite the crowd, they actually separated it.
Yeah.
And then I heard later that the woman who had my hair, she was the one that actually went into the ambulance. She got shoved hard enough where she hit her head on the pavement.
Oh, God.
But I didn't shove her. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't me. She was the
yeah.
one pulling me. And I went back, and this is where God turned the event. I went back to my spot. I undid my sign because it was crumpled up in my arms. I undid my sign, and I had enough of my brackets left where I could redo it and fix it again. And I stood back up. And that at that point, they were coming to me going, why don't you just go home? You're, and by then now the police is there. Okay, you got to
yeah.
understand. Yeah, the police was there at that
Finally.
Point. Finally, but it was already done.
Yeah.
And I says, no, I will stand here. I says, you guys, I've got a message for you. And they're like, wow, you're really brave. And I had a new respect. It was. And I said, I'm not here to anger you. I says, I'm here to let you know I love you and you're on the wrong path. You're on the path of destruction for yourself. And I think there were a couple people that heard me, and actually I had somebody stand with me for a little while. She was gay.
Yeah.
And she actually was my voice because I didn't talk. And she said, let her be. She has a right to be here. We don't agree, but she has a right to be here. Leave her alone. And I had 9 hours with no problems. I did have
yeah.
a police cruiser there, by the way, the rest of the day. But
yeah, yeah. You need a bodyguard.
It was.
When
you go. And the police officer came and got my report because I says, I'm not pressing any charges. And I says, that's. You know, I could press the charges for the girl who ripped my sign or broke my brackets. But, I mean, it was a 15-cent PVC pipe that broke.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
yeah.
you know, that's okay. But the two people that were causing the problems, they were gone. Those two that
oh,
were holding
that's
the
good.
Sign. Oh, they wilted like a flower in the sun. They were gone. I have no
yeah,
idea
Yeah, I
they
guess.
Were. I mean, they must have seen what happened to me, and they were like, I'm out of here. But I made a point. I says, this is how you do not do it. I don't believe you have the right to stand and basically slander somebody at their own festival.
No.
You know, their signs said enough.
Where did they come from, those people?
I have no idea. They must have been local, you know.
They were. They said they were Christians.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about... And they were talking, you know, and I'm going to be kind of careful how I word my stuff here because it's your show. But they were, this is the one that really got the crowd angry. They were stating through a megaphone, we, P-O-O-P, you know what I mean? We,
yeah.
We, okay, through that hole, and you guys have sex there.
Oh.
See, now that you do not do. I believe that crossed the line.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And that to me is and you know what? God revealed
it. Sounds
it to
like
me.
The devil the devil sent them.
Well, it's almost like Westboro Church.
Yeah,
and,
that's
you know,
what
God
I was
going to
say.
Sex.
It sounds like them.
It was. And I'm like most of their message I would agree with. They were talking about how you are poisoning our country and yeah, but you don't say it that way.
No. No. God loves those people.
Absolutely. And you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's what the Bible says.
And at the same time, my sign is very abrupt. It says, warning, God draws the line on gay marriage. Read Romans chapter 1. That's
yeah.
my sign is very bold.
Yeah.
But it tells them to read their Bible, you know?
Right.
Now, standing there, and I stood there for 9 hours, and I had no more issues.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got a big scrape on my arm from being dragged, but, you know, to me, Lord, you had a lot more wounds than I did for what you've done for me. So it was just, but the whole event, I think, turned the crowd to the point where, she ain't leaving. She ain't leaving. And by now, the word was getting around. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really getting around. that she is the one that brought the police officers, you know. And but they all were, well, not all of them were respectful, but the most of them were. And I tell you what, God gave me this. It was 11 o'clock at night when I, this all happened at about 2, 2.30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And about 11 o'clock at night, I was just about ready to go, roll it up and go home. I've had a long day.
yeah, I guess.
You know, I talk to a lot of people, but I've had the long day. And this woman comes up to me. She's about 19, 20, and she is totally uncontrollably crying. And I, you know, immediately compassion, immediately. It's amazing when you do these things that you have a compassion by the time you go home. You
yeah.
really do. You love the people and you feel for them. And you ache for the Lord's heart too. You do. It's a little bit of both. And she come up to me and she says, "Do you have an answer for a broken heart?"
Oh.
And I put my sign down, and I'm going to get emotional here. Her name was Lindsay. I will never forget her. I knelt down with her, and we prayed. And she did not give her life to Christ. I can't say she did that. But she was so broken that I was able to pray with her. And I said, "Lord," and I laid hands on her, and I said, "Lord, give this child a direction. She's broken. She's messed up." I says, "Give her a direction." And she hugged me so hard when she left. We talked for about 5 minutes. And I says, "Girl, just go to church tomorrow. Find a small church closest to you and let the Lord direct." And she promised me that.
Yeah.
And I says, "From here on, I will pray for you every day." And I have. It's been a week, and I've prayed for her every day. I don't know where she's at, and I don't know what happened. But that, to me, was a party for one. And all of the events of the day came to that Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I said, "That's why I'm here. She is the reason why I am here." So she knows that there is another direction, and I was it. At the end of her day, I was it. And I thought, "Lord, thank you. You gave me the opportunity." And that, to me, was God's way of saying, if you had quit, girl, you would have never met Lindsay.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is another thing. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. You can have a whole crowd up against you, and they will persecute you. They will slander you. They will actually physically assault you. But, you know, I just look back at what they did to my Lord. And why can't I do a little bit back for him?
Yeah, you certainly did.
I tell you what, and that was my day 1 week ago. And it was an incredible day. An incredible day. And I'm sad to say that's probably the last gay rally. I've looked up on the lines to see if there's any more activities, but they really canceled them. They're mostly for the summer.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are south of me, and I can't travel 4 or 5 days. Or they're in Texas. I'm in Michigan, so they're in Texas, and they're in Florida. Louisiana,
oh.
I think, has a big one coming up. And, you know, I thought if I was within a few hours of driving, I would go with my sign.
Yeah.
And I'd do it again. But I'll wait till next year because they're going to be more emboldened and we still need to be there. And
yeah, well, that's good.
You'll
get a little chance to recover.
I did. But you know what? It is amazing. I had the strength to do it. And it was really quite
you
interesting
do.
Because the police officer came up to me after the whole event as he took my report because I was involved in it. And he said to me, he says, "Ma'am, I've got some advice for you." And I says, "Okay." I kind of chuckled, and he kind of looked at me. He says, "Can you please go home?"
Yeah.
And I says, "I can't, sir." I says, and I explained to him why, and he just shook his head. He says, "Then can I give you one more piece of advice?" And I says, "You can try." And he says, "Please do not tackle anybody more." And I says, as long as they don't take my sign, we'll be good.
Yeah.
And he just rolled
yeah,
his eyes.
Yeah, well, it's expensive, too. You don't want to have
well,
to spend
yeah,
another $100 or whatever for your sign.
I mean, it's $60. You know, my sign
oh,
cost
I see.
Me $60. But that wasn't the deal. The thing is, the guy had my message. He
yeah.
had my message.
Yeah.
And you know what? The sign is in perfect condition. It got a little sticky because it got slurpied and everything else, but I was able to hold
wow.
it up. No, the sign itself is fine. I just have to buy, like I said, a 15.
I wish they had that on videotape.
I kind of looked for it because I'd like to know how I got through the crowd to chase the guy.
Yeah, that would be an interesting.
But, you know, I'm sure somebody has got the video of it. Maybe they just, you know, but I
well,
had
the
one
thing
for,
is they don't want you there holding a sign, but yet
well,
they don't
not.
Mind
yeah.
Pulling your hair and dragging you and trying to kill you. And
yeah,
the only
oh,
thing you were doing was trying to tell them about Jesus. So that's a
right.
sign of the times if there ever was.
Yeah,
wow, who's the peace-loving one? It
yep.
certainly wasn't them.
No, it wasn't. And like I said, I had some that came to my side. They protected me. They did. You have both sides. That's like Christians have both sides. We have
yeah.
Westboro, and we have someone like me. Who
yeah, well, that
stand.
Westboro, I don't know if they're really Christians. They don't act like it.
Well, like I said, I agree with their boldness, yes, but there is a way, there is a time to be quiet.
Yeah.
There is a
well, you
time
don't go out and try
me.
To incite people.
No,
it's,
and that's,
you know, that's ridiculous.
And that's how they become so famous is, and I
yeah.
think a lot of it is their media now, is they're using the wrong technique.
Yeah,
I feel
they're
that
using
they,
the wrong
they are abusing our freedom of speech, and I feel people like that are going to get us all quiet is what's
yeah.
going to end up happening. They are the radicals on the Christian faith, and I give them credit for that. But they're also going to be the catapult to keep the rest of us also quiet.
Well,
I mean,
the thing is, that's the impression people get that don't know the Lord. Look, these are Christians, and look what they're saying to us.
Sure.
So. They don't know that that's not really the way Jesus taught Christians to behave. So that's the only
thing.
And then, of course, they get publicity. And so
yeah.
then that's what people think. These Christians are here to insult us. And
right.
And,
no, we are called to be bold. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He was beat up nearly to death and
yeah.
put in prison, and he went right back there the next day. You know, and stood and preached again. You know, and Paul had a boldness, definitely. You
well,
know,
he definitely had a boldness, that's
but
for
I
sure.
But I don't believe he would have, you know, and maybe he would have slandered people. I don't know. I wasn't there when Paul preached. But if you look at the Bible and the way Paul preached the gospel, and he spoke that boldly, but I don't believe he called people names unless they probably had it coming. But he didn't incite them to get them
angry.
No,
he
angry.
Wouldn't say anything like that. That's
no, he wouldn't
nice.
Be a hater. He wouldn't call
no,
them hateful
no.
names. Calling somebody
no.
a fag is a hateful name.
Yeah, that's hateful.
You do not do that. I just, that to me is no. That's when you no. cross the line. Yes, I believe Paul would have boldly preached Romans chapter 1. Oh, he wrote it. So, of course, he would have preached Romans chapter 1.
Yeah.
But he would not have called them names.
No.
I believe, you know, and look at the result. They were there for 15 minutes and they got run out. I stood for 9 hours and I was okay.
Yeah, well, that's good. They should have been run out. Well, I thank you for that testimony
yeah.
because I had seen that where you posted that you were bruised and I said, I have to mention it on the program, but I know
well,
that.
I'm sorry for taking so much time, but
no, that's okay. I wanted you to talk about it. I thought it was important
up.
Because it's kind of ironic because no one should get violent just because somebody's standing with a sign, and so that just goes to show you. The times we're living in
yes.
and how easily people are upset just by somebody saying words or carrying a sign, and then they want to kill you.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important story. But anyway, we have this whole situation going on now with Syria.
Yes.
And Egypt, of course, a few weeks ago, there was an uprising there where they supposedly threw out the Muslim Brotherhood leadership. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the Egypt situation and then Syria.
Well, I think Syria now is on the forefront. Egypt is almost in the background now.
Yeah.
You don't really hear much on the Egypt thing, which I don't know. Maybe that's a diversion, so something is going. I mean, the whole region is in flames. Lebanon's now getting protest over the Syria situation. It's just, you know, we've been looking at a powder keg for years and years and keep thinking it's going to blow this is going to blow this, and it just seems to just continue at just, wow. Of course, God's in control, and, you know, all I can do is look at the Bible and see and know what is coming. When it happens, that's up to the Lord, because it doesn't give us a date. But if you look at what is unfolding now, especially with Syria, and you can see Isaiah 17 leaping right out of the Bible and going right into the news. I mean, it's a wow. And what I
so now is Damascus the oldest city?
Yes, the oldest inhabited city of the world. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's never been a heap of ruins. So there may have been attacks, of course, from the, you know, Babylonian, the Persian empires as they, you know, ruled the area. And, of course, the, you know, the Roman Empire as well. I'm sure there were attacks, but it never was a complete heap of ruins. And that is prophesied in Isaiah 17. And that's, I feel we're on the cusp of that once again, but then here we hear the news this week that now our coalition of, you would say, Western nations, that's falling apart. And Obama's on a hot seat here because he drew a red line a while back.
Yeah.
And the red line is crossed. I haven't heard the UN, I believe, was supposed to have their report in today. I have not heard.
Yeah, I didn't see anything either this morning.
They were pulling out today. The UN inspectors were pulling out today, and a lot of people are feeling that that's the day that we are going to attack, is once the UN, those inspectors are out, then we attack. So today may be an interesting day. Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. We've seen so many twists on this now. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, I mean, in Isaiah chapter 1, Damascus is a heap of ruins. But it's further into that chapter that I find so intriguing, is that Israel is also deserted. And that makes sense now if we have, I mean, if Assad is not stopped. I do not support going in. We need to stay out.
Yeah.
But if Assad is using chemical weapons, something needs to be done. you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. It's almost like evil fighting evil here.
Yeah.
And nothing good will come out of it.
No.
But at the same time, I'm thinking, let the Middle East handle this. Why can't the
Europe
accept it?
Yeah, that sounds like a better solution.
And is that? No, it's not. You're just, and I just don't believe we can be a police state for everybody that's over there. They don't help us with our problems. Why are we helping them with theirs?
Well, not only that, but you have the whole religious fanatic system in those countries. And it just incites more fanaticism. So, yeah, it's better just to stay out of it.
Exactly. Assad is not a great guy. He needs to go, yes. But who are we putting back in? And now we go back to Egypt. Why can't we learn what happened in Egypt?
Oh, yeah.
We took out Mubarak, who was not a good guy. We supported the Muslim Brotherhood, who now put Morsi in, and now he's being removed, or has been removed.
Yeah.
And that still is not over. So I'm like, what are we supporting? We're supporting Al-Qaeda factions. We're supporting those who go. What we need to be doing is supporting the Christians there. That's where we are lacking. Why are we not providing protections for at least the Christians there? Why don't
yeah.
we do that? Why don't at least we do that? But no. And we don't even know at this point who launched the chemical weapon. We're
no.
still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out.
What if in truth Assad had nothing to do with it and the rebels did get a hold of a missile launcher and launched it from an area where the troops of Assad were to incite this exact situation? We don't know that. They're very clever. They're evil.
Yeah, unless you had it on video or you
yeah,
had eyewitnesses that had some kind of evidence, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. And Syrian television actually was airing a video where you could see rebels loading a blue canister onto a missile launcher.
Oh.
So, I mean, they're like, hey, this is it. But, yeah, who do you believe?
Yeah.
So
it's kind of hard because you don't have cameras there. You don't have your reporters. I don't think they're even allowed to go near Damascus.
Right. Right. So if we stay out of it, what message does that send? That people can use chemical weapons and nobody will come up against them as punitive damages. And is that something Assad will continue to use? I guess I heard on the news last night that another attack occurred. It was a different chemical this time, one that could burn people. And they said, and they were showing people coming into hospitals. And they said another attack occurred. This was right off the nightly news. So I'm like, yeah. what do you do? I really believe that we've got a situation here unfolding where if we read Isaiah 17, you will see that this is going to continue to escalate to the point where Damascus is completely destroyed by who? Don't know. Don't know that yet. Maybe it's Israel. That's a possibility too.
Yeah, well, they're so close to Israel. They're
yes,
practically next door.
Exactly. And they know now, I mean, Israel deployed the dome, I think, a couple of days ago because all the Scud missiles are now pointed against Jerusalem. And they know that now. So they employed the dome, which is the protector. You know, the dome is exactly that. It's a missile shield protector
yeah.
where any incoming is automatically shot down. The thing is very effective.
Oh.
And it's amazing technology that Israel has. They have actually put a virtual dome over the nation.
Oh.
Where radar sees a missile coming in, and another missile from Israel intercepts it and gets it and blows it up to
oh,
the point where
wow.
it all comes down. It's just fragments that come down. And they had
sounds
to use
like
this.
Divine protection.
You betcha. And that is just, you know, Israel's extraordinary technology that it has, that it's able to do this. But when you've got thousands of Scuds pointed at you, you know, Israel is aware that you can't get them all. You can't get them all.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's such a little country. I've heard people say, compare it to New Jersey, and that it's so small.
Sure.
And yet it's such a source of controversy. And why is that? You know,
yeah.
why? Why do people hate Israel?
Right.
Why do they hate the Jews? I think it's because, of course, Jesus was a Jew when he walked on the earth. He practiced the Jewish way. And so I think the devil hates the Jews.
Sure. But you remember, you have Michael the Archangel, which is its protector. And I tell you what, you ruffle you ruffle the Michael the Archangel, you're going to have a problem. And if for a quick moment, if we could just, I think we did this on your show probably a year ago when, or 2 years ago when this whole Syrian thing was starting to come into play here, that with the rebels, I mean, they've been in civil war now 3 years. That's, I can't believe it's been that long.
They've been actually having a civil war in Syria for 3 years?
Yes. They say this has been going on 3 years now.
Oh.
And I'm just like, wow, I can't imagine. But
so have you seen any footage of the destruction that this
no,
civil
they don't
war?
Allow
I was looking
a lot
for
of it.
Something... I was trying to find something today, some photographs.
Yeah. They don't allow any journalists into Syria. This was something
Syria at all?
No, they're not allowed in there. So the video that you do see is coming from people, you know, with YouTube. That's why you're not seeing any footage from Syria, you know, like you are from Egypt. You're seeing our journalists right there in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, and you're seeing the riots happening behind them. You're catching that on nightly news all the time. But you never see anybody in Syria. You can't because they don't allow it.
Oh.
So that's where I believe. We don't know how far Damascus is actually destroyed at this point, but we do know they say that traffic and stuff is still moving through Damascus. You're getting reports verbally, you know, from those who are inside. But to me, it's just interesting to see that this whole thing, the journalists cannot go there. And I wonder if once we get in there with a journalist and actually to view the actual damage, it would be interesting.
Yeah.
If it is... You know, but at this point, I don't think so. But every time I see video of footage from Syria, I'm looking in the background. I'm looking to see what's it look like back there.
Yeah,
you know,
I was curious myself because I heard about all the destruction and the civil war,
right.
And I didn't know how long it went on. But I was looking for some photographs. I wanted to see it, but the pictures I did see. It looks like it has some modern parts to the city. It has some high-rise buildings.
You can shop in Syria. Damascus, they have stores like Benetton's. They've got, you know, the high upscale stores.
Oh.
I mean, oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like the streets of New York. I'm not kidding you.
So they don't allow
modernized.
Tourism, I guess, though.
Oh, and they there's a lot of tourism. Of course, not
right
now.
Oh, is there?
But... But yeah, Syria is a westernized Arab country.
Oh,
definitely. You know, and they're not like some other. It's not like Iran. It's people travel there, and you know, I mean, the marketplaces in Syria. I mean, they're beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's odd.
Beautiful.
If people are traveling there, then how do they intend to keep out? People taking pictures if they allow people to come.
Well, see, that's why the travel is restricted. Oh, yeah, that's been shut down. Oh, absolutely. You cannot travel to Syria right now. No.
Okay, right now you can't.
No, I cannot believe you could. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, I mean, who would want to go there for one thing at this point? No, it's way too, that's not even an option.
Yeah.
You know. But I did want to touch something up here in Isaiah 17 that maybe a lot of the listeners have not heard of, and for them to dig into Isaiah 17, not just verse 1, but to continue. And this is the part that I find unique because it has not occurred yet other than its destruction. And if you look in that verse 6, the end of verse 6, it says that Damascus and Israel, so they include Israel here, Damascus and Israel stripped bare of people except for a few of the poor who remain. Now that is unbelievable. I thought, wait a minute here. Israel has never been stripped of its people.
Yeah.
But I explained this before, and it makes sense. If an area is stripped of people, that means it's evacuated. And who are the ones that get left behind? They're the poor. So I'm saying that it's obviously not a nuclear weapon that's used because that would destroy the poor. I mean, a nuclear weapon is no respecter of persons.
No, exactly. That's why I don't
and
think they're ever going to use
weapon.
Them. I don't think they're going to use them because it's,
no.
you can't predict how far-reaching the damage would be. So, of course, the politicians aren't going to want to hurt themselves.
Right. Now, we've known that Damascus is already, you know, being evacuated. I mean, there's refugees been leaving by the hundreds of thousands already.
Oh, really? Where are they going?
Jordan. They're pouring into Jordan, and I believe a lot of them are going into Lebanon. Well, that's where the whole Golan, there's a whole refugee campsite there over on the Golan Heights.
So,
I mean, hundreds and thousands of people have already left the area because of there's no food. I mean, in some areas are totally gone, you know, and so the people have been leaving. But who are the ones left behind? Well, they're the poor because they have no means of getting out. They don't have a car. They don't have any money. You need to have money to travel.
Yeah.
Especially if you're fleeing a country with your family, you need to have an end game, and that's going to take money.
Yeah.
So the poor have no option but to remain. Now, that's going to be the situation here in both Damascus and Israel. So there must be some sort of threat that makes them leave. And that will be interesting to see this play out. What is the threat? Is it a nuclear threat? Is it a chemical threat where Israel actually is vacated? In fact, it's mentioned three times in the chapter. Verse 9, it says, their largest cities will be as deserted as the distant wooded hills. Wow. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And to me, that's something to look for. Then we can see how Damascus is destroyed then, too. I don't know. But that part is very intriguing to me because it ties in exactly in Ezekiel 38, where we know the Gog and Magog, which Russia is involved, and all of that's a whole amazing topic right there because Russia is right in the pit of all this. It's amazing. How in the world did Russia, of all nations, get involved in the Middle East?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can see where we are because we have an ally with Israel, but Russia doesn't. Russia just needs to be in the mix because God puts them there.
Yeah.
And,
it is curious. Now, how far away is Russia from Syria?
Well, you're talking directly north. I mean, that's the area to the far north of Israel.
Uh-huh.
So actually that is way up in the north. But Russia now, and this was news last night, Russia sent a ship into the Syrian waters. They have six ships off Syria. We have five. We have five ships off Syria.
Oh.
Can you see a problem coming? And this is really interesting here. This is news, so go ahead and Google it. You will find it. On Wednesday, this is this past Wednesday, Saudi Arabia threatened Russia. And I'm like, whoa, what's that all about? Saudi Arabia, of course, wants Assad gone. I mean, they're not on Syria's side.
Uh-huh.
I think Saudi Arabia is kind of like the peacemaker in the whole thing. They just want to have Middle East peace. They want to do what they want to do and leave everybody, you know, let everybody leave us alone. They are against Iran, and they're also against Syria. The prince of Arabia told Putin directly, if you intervene with the West's military, you would say, interaction, or the military attack, because Russia threatened to attack us if we attack Syria. So Saudi Arabia said to Putin, if you intervene with the West's attack against Syria, we are going to release Chechen rebels that we are holding. Now, I never knew that Saudi Arabia is holding the rebels from Chechnya. If you remember, a few years ago, the Chechen rebels were doing the bombings in Russia. And they flew to Saudi Arabia for safety, but Saudi Arabia is holding them in prison.
Oh.
They're not sending them back to Russia.
Oh.
So the prince of Saudi Arabia said to Putin, if you attack, if you intervene, we're going to release these rebels, and then we will not guarantee your Olympics. In January in Russia. Can you see the cat and mouse game playing out here?
Oh.
And then you go into Ezekiel 38, and it talks about Sheba and Dedan as being trading partners with Israel and how they taunt Russia as Russia's coming down to attack Israel in Ezekiel 38. Saudi Arabia says, what are you doing? What are you going into attack Israel for? Are you there to plunder? Are you there to steal? In other words, they do not sign on with Russia to attack Israel. And I always wondered what happened that would turn Saudi Arabia against Russia. And this could be it. This could be it. And I'm thinking, you can see the puzzle pieces starting to fit. Saudi Arabia is now going against Russia. And it all has to do with maybe the Olympics, of all things.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, Lord, how you put things into place. How you put things into place. Yeah. And I encourage your readers, read Isaiah 17 and dig deeply into Ezekiel 38 and see the connections.
Okay.
You will see it. You will see it.
Yeah, that would make a very interesting Bible study at this point.
Oh, absolutely. And Ezekiel 38 mentions that the nation of Israel goes back to its deserted cities. It's mentioned three times also. In Ezekiel 38, you'll see it. Israel goes back to its deserted cities because I believe Isaiah 17 creates that problem where the Israelis leave. Maybe they go to Jordan, I don't know. But they go back to Israel. And that's when you can look for the Russia attack against Israel. And then you watch out, because that's when the Lord finally has enough. He stands up, and I cannot wait for that day.
Oh,
if we
I'm
are
telling
taken
you.
Out, if we are taken out before that through the rapture, Lord, let me see it from up above. I want to see how the Lord's hand protects Israel. And how you see in Isaiah 17 how Israel's glory will be dimmed during this whole episode. Notice how the glory of Israel is dimmed. And I believe that the glory of Israel is its military. And if Israel's military is taken out, that will be amazing, because that is Israel's glory. The Iron Dome, its forces, its IDF, its their nuclear weapons. If somehow that gets diminished, and watch for that too, as we see Israel's military get diminished, understand that when Russia comes up against Israel in Ezekiel 38, God is the one who gets the glory, not Israel. Notice how God takes her protection away so that they can't claim that Israel's military is what saved them. No, God shows it that he is the one that saves them. And
yeah,
that's where I believe your building of the temple will begin, because they will recognize, and it's mentioned many times in Ezekiel 39, that Israel recognizes God is their God, that he is their Lord. They go back to him.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe your temple gets rebuilt. So you can see the things coming. Just follow God's word and you will have your prophecy right there.
Oh, wow. We can hardly believe that we're in these times and we're seeing these things happening right before our eyes.
Oh, amazing. Like I said, you can rip the pages out of the Bible and put them right into the news.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad? churches today will not preach on this. And that keeps the typical Christian dumb to the whole thing.
Yeah.
They don't understand, because the media is not going to say it. Unless you watch Christian media, you are never going to hear, oh, this is in Isaiah, this is in Jeremiah,
yeah,
this is in Psalm 83. No, you never hear that on TV. You don't. You've got to have that knowledge. Otherwise, you're not going to catch it. That's where get into your Bible. And churches today will not teach on it, will not preach on it. And that's where I feel that the devil has an edge there, because the Christians are ignorant to what the Bible says, and that's how the devil gets them all worried, basically. How many Christians have I talked to that are so worried about Syria?
Really?
And I'm saying, bring it on. It's
prophecy.
I'm going to pray.
Wow, we don't have to. Yeah, why do we worry? That's ridiculous
why?
To worry.
They're like, oh, this is going to send oil through the roof, and this is going to collapse our dollar, and if Obama attacks, we're going to get attacked. And it's like, bring it on. It's prophesied in the Bible. Be ready.
Yeah, you can't stop the book of Revelation from happening.
And how many times have I heard people say, I'm going to pray for Syria, that we don't go in, that Syria doesn't get destroyed. Yes, I pray for the people, but Lord prophesied it in Isaiah 17. If it's going to become a heap of ruins, it's going to happen. Why are we praying against the will of the Lord?
Yeah.
We can't.
Exactly. No,
all
we can't.
All we can do is pray for the people involved, that they know what's going on, and that in the end, it's the Lord that wins. That is our hope. You know, Christian today, pay attention to the Word of God, because it is our roadmap to what's going to happen. Don't listen to what Obama's going to do. Don't fret over what Assad is going to do.
Yeah.
Watch. Be that watchman. Just watch. And then you know where you are in the timeline according to the Bible.
Yeah.
And you can see how close we are to the end.
Oh, yeah, very close.
Absolutely.
Very close. And we can look forward, like the Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So
yeah,
we have nothing to be afraid of, no matter. Jesus predicted all this, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence.
Don't worry about it. Yeah,
I mean, there's so much pestilence. You can't hardly believe they've been talking about a few things here in Florida. They have a big snake problem in the Everglades. Someone was releasing these huge snakes there from other countries, I guess bringing them in, and then they can't take care of them. And so they've been releasing them. So they've been overrun with these huge, I don't know, 50-foot big fat snakes. Yeah, it's awful.
Oh,
yeah, and then they've been having this problem with the citrus, this disease on the citrus, and then they were saying they were going to have mosquitoes that were the size of quarters here, and then there was some kind of a new pest that they talked about last week, some kind of a snail that somebody brought from Africa that eats stucco. And most of the houses in Florida are made with stucco.
Oh, my. You can just see. And then I've been kind of hearing little bits and pieces on this Louisiana parish there. No, that's not in Florida. Oh, that's not in Florida. That's that sinkhole.
Yeah.
That's rolling over the salt dome there.
Oh, so it's still happening.
Yeah, it's still going on. It's still caving
in.
Yeah,
that hasn't been in the news much at all.
No, I think it was Assumption Parish. Now, is that in Florida, or I believe that's in Louisiana?
That's Louisiana,
yeah,
the parish.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's over by you regardless.
Yeah.
I'm safe up here in Michigan.
Yeah, for
but,
now.
You know, we have our own issues up here in Michigan. You know, we've had actually a beautiful summer, but it's been rather cool. And we've had, you know, I mean, we're talking in the 60s here next week. And,
wow.
I mean, the corn looks very good around
us.
Oh,
yeah, the corn would look good, yeah.
Yep,
the corn,
so we get an
I tried
early
to grow
spot.
Some corn, but, no, it was too hot.
No, but, you know, we're doing okay up here. But you look out west, it's bone dry. And the wildfires that are spreading there. This is, you know, we've had wildfires before. I mean, you know, we've seen these things before. But you're seeing them on weird situations. You're seeing things escalating.
Yeah.
And becoming strange. You know, like snails and snakes. I mean,
snails eating stucco.
Snails.
I never heard of anything like that.
Yeah.
And especially in Florida, where, like I said, most of the houses have stucco on them because they're built out of cinder blocks, and then they put the stucco over the blocks to make a finish. And,
yeah. And you don't think God uses that? Of course.
I'm telling you.
Of course he does. You think God doesn't know this?
What? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what next?
Exactly. What? Yeah. And what next? I mean, that right there, those two words, what next? What's next week going to bring? Good gravy. What's next week going to bring?
Yeah.
But you know what? I just quit worrying about it. Just watch and use it as a ministry. And Susan, that's what you do, and I applaud you. We take these situations and we use them as a ministry to wake people up.
Yeah.
To, hey, there's a reason why this is going on. Exactly. You know, and you have that ministry as well, and you do a great job.
Oh, thank you. I was wondering, you know, to get off the subject a little bit. I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but you had a situation in your own hometown there with your church.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't know if do you want to mention it?
I'll be very brief because I do love the pastor there, and I love the people there. But I'll give a brief synopsis.
How long were you at that church?
We were there a little over 2 years.
Okay.
And I had no problems whatsoever. I got very. It's a small church. We have about 150 members, so it's a small Baptist church, and just a beautiful church. And we have a pastor who is a young man with a family, and he does excellent sermons. I love him dearly, and actually, you know, I still do throughout the whole situation. But I'm going to leave a lot of details out because they're not necessary. But and if anybody wants to talk to me about it, they can just give me a call or go to my website. That's fine. I will just discuss it more in private rather than over a radio show. But to give it and this is something that I see coming in not only my church but also in other churches.
Well, it's happened to some other people I know of too.
Yes. We have what's called deacons, and they're right below the pastor. You have the pastor as the shepherd or the leader, and then below him is the board. And our board is comprised of six deacons, they're called, which is right below the pastor, and then they have eight trustees, which are below
them. Okay.
Okay. So there's a board of 16, including the pastor.
Yeah.
And to throw into the mix, my husband is on the board. Okay,
So
this is now, this is reverberating into an extreme situation here in my home now. The daughter of one of the deacons.
Say the least.
Oh, my goodness. This is, and he should have been resigned off the board over all of this, but he did not. And there was a lot of faults that the church did. But kind of given, this is my side of the story. The board may have a different side, but I will speak my side of it. What happened is the daughter of the deacon, she is, I believe, probably 19 or 20 years old, is pregnant or was pregnant, and she was not married. And he continued to be a deacon. And that right there, to me, was a breach of controlling what's going on in your home. Now, she is moved out of her home. She does not live at his house. But she friended me on Facebook before she was pregnant. And I, you know, that's fine. She goes to my church. And I thought, okay, I'll friend her. So I friended her, and I kind of got some little clips coming in. She's a baptized believer, okay? So we have to throw that in because that's really important. She is
okay.
A member of the church.
Oh, okay.
A baptized member. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get some posts coming from her news feed that she's pregnant. And she's talking about her boyfriend and so on. And over the course of her last 4 months of pregnancy, I started talking to her directly, privately, about, hey, can we have lunch? Let's talk. Because she was really in her roller coaster ride, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Lows and highs. Her boyfriend dumped her, and then he was back, and then he dumped
her. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I just see the heartache in the woman as she's going through all this, let alone the emotions of pregnancy. And she's alone. She's living by herself. And she's on, you know, she had a job, which then she lost, and so on, you know. So finally, I think it was her last month of pregnancy. I have tried, I think if you go back into my Facebook attempts, I tried 7 times to have lunch with her. Offered to buy her lunch, and she refused, or she ignored me. Finally, I put her to the grindstone. I said, okay, you and I are going to talk. Why are you avoiding me? And then she let loose on me a string of what she thought of people at our church, talking behind her back and so on. And I kind of said, well, look, you kind of put yourself in this situation, girl. You know, what's going on? How come we're not getting married? And she's like, I don't want to, and this is my business. You leave me alone. And she got very, you would say, offensive or defensive. She got very defensive. And I just reached out to her, and I says, and you've got to understand, I was in her shoes 30 years ago.
Oh.
So I knew exactly, because I was pregnant, did not want to get married, and I knew what the church was like because they talk about you.
Oh, yeah.
And I says, I have the means of wanting to talk to her because I've been there, done
that.
Yeah,
you know exactly what
I know
going
exactly.
Through.
And the thing is, my father came against me because I didn't want to get married, and the church supported him. The church came also against me. And I was actually up for excommunication because I also was a member, pregnant, not wanting to get married. So I basically had nowhere to go. So I ended up marrying the father.
Oh.
And I tell you what, it was the best decision I ever made. He was a good father to my child, and we had a great marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course, since then, I never was with the Lord during that whole process, and I left my first husband. So, and then I was saved. I was saved later.
I see.
And then, so that's besides the point. But I was in her shoes, so I knew what needed to be done, and I tried to come alongside of her, and she'd have nothing to do with it. It was then that I went to the church. I went to the board. I went to her parents first. And to talk to them about the situation, what is going on. Her parents are wonderful people. And I tell you what, they were just so disgusted with the whole thing. They literally were. They actually had gone to the board as well for help in directing with her, and the board ignored it. They did nothing. So I went to the pastor, and I says, I'm here as a member of this church. I says, she needs to be talked to by the deacons, by the other deacons. We need to have this resolved. She either straightens it out or she has to be removed from membership. She cannot be an unwed mother and be a member of the church. And I presented the biblical reasons, and I said, I did go to her personally. She refused. I went to 2 others. They refused. She refused to listen. So I said, now I'm coming to you. You need to address this. And they wouldn't. And I went to my pastor a number of times, and I says, and finally, I started to get angry. And I says, now we need to take a situation here. This is getting out of control because she wanted to have the baby shower at the church. And I said, no, this is not going to be allowed. I says, I've got a teenager watching all of this, and this will not be happening in my church.
Yeah, that's
and I had
true.
A,
that's true, yeah.
I had a few other people that supported me, and we got the baby shower removed.
Yeah.
But that started a problem. because now the board knew that I had some strength and that I was not going to back down. She had the baby, and her mother posted on my wall the whole idea of grandmother, I'm a grandmother, yahoo, wahoo, and people were congratulating her and hope this is wonderful. And I tell you what, Susan, I went into my garden for 5 hours and I just stewed. I'm seeing all this applause and I'm like, Lord, this breaks my heart. This should not be applauded. This is something that we need to address in our own church. This girl is on the wrong path, and she's creating a situation that is an epidemic in this nation. And I posted a rant on Facebook. It was a rant, Susan. I prayed about it. It took me 2 hours to write 2 paragraphs.
Yeah.
I deleted, I wrote, and finally I had my final say. And in a nutshell, my rant was, why are we doing this within our nation? We are so quick to point fingers at our government in allowing certain activities and allowing certain lifestyles, and they are basically morally degrading the family. And I says, and now we have it within our own Christian community. And I posted that, and I think I made a comment, and it was a very strong comment. I said, there are more bastards born in the United States to unwed mothers than there are legitimate children born in marriages. And I says, this is a disgrace and a slap in the face of God. That's what I wrote. And somebody reported it to my pastor.
Yeah.
This is something I wrote in my own home. They reported it to the pastor. I got up for discipline. Within 2 days, I was up for discipline in front of the board. And they had 8 points against me, from slander of another believer, name-calling because I used the word bastard in my post, causing strife in the congregation, insubordination to the church because I refused to back down when they told me to. And I was up now for excommunication by congregational vote.
Yeah.
So they wanted me to sign a paper that said I repented and that I will ask for forgiveness for those who I slandered. And I refused. I says, I spoke the truth. I spoke it harshly. And yes, I did it in love for the girl in the beginning. I says, but now I am angry. I says, I did everything that I could out of love, and she refused. And I says, and what I wrote was wrote for everybody in general, not necessarily against her. But, of course, they took that against her. That whole week before the vote was going to be July 21. That whole week before the vote, I fasted. I have never fasted for 7 days, and you know what? The Lord gave me the strength, and I did it. In the meantime, my husband is on the board, and they're talking about me with him. And that, I believe, was wrong, because they started a wedge between me and my husband.
Oh, yeah, no, they shouldn't have done that.
My husband did not support me in my post, what I wrote. He did not support me. And in the meantime, he is listening to what the board is saying all about me. And I was not allowed to say what I needed to say to him in my defense because he was already poisoned against me. And they continued to allow him to sit in on all the discipline measures against me, including what everybody else was saying and so on. And that, I believe, was wrong. But it's been done. That whole week I fasted and I prayed first of all, that the vote would go in my favor, absolutely. But I also prayed that if my church would need an awakening, that they needed to see it by the Lord's hand, that I wanted them to see that maybe this is something we ought to be paying attention to. It was basically a wake-up call. to how our church was starting to move into a wrong direction.
Yeah.
2 days before the vote happened, I got a call. And they said, Chris, you need to know something. And I says, what's going on? They says, the pastor just lost their unborn baby. The pastor and his wife. She was about 4 months along. And they went in to get their ultrasound because the baby was kicking. And their first ultrasound or second one, I don't know what it was. They had to go in for an ultrasound, your normal checkup. There was no heartbeat. She ended up delivering a dead baby.
Oh.
And that was a horrible thing. And I texted the pastor, and I says, Pastor, my thoughts and my prayers are with you at this time. And then, Susan, it hit me. Why is the Lord's hand against the pastor who brought all this up against me? And I did not know how to feel. And I wrote that on my Facebook page. I said, please pray for my pastor at this time. Please pray for myself and for the vote that will be occurring day after tomorrow. And I said, please pray for my pastor and his wife as they struggle through this. And then I wrote, I have mixed emotions about this. And I do. I still do. I had mixed emotions. Why was the Lord's hand heavy against the pastor the week of the vote, 2 days beforehand, right after a board meeting had happened? It was the same day of the board meeting or right after the board meeting. And I just went, Lord, what are you saying? I don't know the mind of the Lord. All I know is his hand was against the pastor and not against me. The vote happened, and the vote was, half the people didn't even want to vote. They were so disgusted with it, a lot of people didn't even go to the meeting, the congregational meeting. The vote occurred, and here's where numbers, I believe, was amazing. And you know what? There was 16 in my favor. There was 66 against me.
Oh, wow.
There's your number, 666. And I heard the number, and I immediately thought, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
I was voted out, and I was okay. I didn't peel out of the parking lot. I didn't stomp out of church. A lot of people hugged me when I left. I left the service because obviously we're all going home now. I left the service and a lot of people hugged me. And I says, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm still I'm not a member anymore, but I can still attend here.
Yeah.
That evening, I got a phone call. Chris, you need to know what's going on. I says, what's the matter now? They say, somebody read your Facebook post about the pastor losing the baby and that you had mixed emotions. And I says, yeah, I do. I says, I feel sorry for them. He is suffering. He says, yeah, but they said you damned the pastor because of the vote. And that's why it happened. And I says, I did what? And I says, I never said that.
Oh,
they say, well, that's how they're saying you said it. I says, wow. 2 weeks ago, I went back to church after that vote, by the way. I went back to church. I treated it like nothing happened. Let's move on, people. I sat in church. I worshiped. I figured, okay, I'm done with the whole ordeal. Let's get over this. Oh, and by the way, the girl was removed from membership. Which, by the way, they did not tell anybody. They did that secretly. And you know, Susan, if I had known that she was removed, I don't think any of this would have happened.
Yeah, really.
But they removed her without congregational approval, which was against our Constitution. If we add people, there's a vote. When we take out people, there's a vote.
Yeah.
There was a vote for me, but there was no vote for her.
Oh.
And I thought that was wrong, and I brought that up too. I thought that was wrong. In her defense, she needed a vote. But they snuck her out, or they removed her without nobody knowing it.
Oh.
And I let everybody know that that was the case, and that angered a lot of people in the church. But that was all beforehand. Anyway, so I go
we
back.
We just have about 5 minutes left.
I'm gonna make
on
it very quick. Yep,
okay.
I'll make it very quick. I went off in my home. It was turmoil. It was literal turmoil.
I guess.
And my husband still goes to that church, and I don't, because I went on vacation. I took off to be with the Lord for a week out in the mountains. I come back home, and I said a prayer out in the mountains. I says, Lord, if I need to stay at Woodward, I plan on staying there. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the name of my church, but please don't Google it. And I says, if I need to stay in my church, I will. But if I don't, if you need me in another church, then you let me know when I get home. Did you know that when I got home, there was a certified letter from the church on my table? I opened it, and in that letter they said, if I set foot on church property, I will be forcibly removed and the police will be called.
Yikes.
Unbelievable. They now had a presence of a police officer the following Sunday.
Oh.
Well, they didn't have it there, but they threatened it. I did not go to church, and I haven't been there since. I thought that was my answer to prayer, that was God's way of saying, you're out, girl. Go somewhere else. I will deal with that church from here on. And I have not gone back. And I tell you what, they say there's a split forming in the church over this. And people are asking me to please come back. Please come back. If you get arrested, we will be arrested with you. And I have a dilemma tomorrow morning. Am I going back or not? I love that church, and I'd love to go back. I need to put that behind me. But they say the more you stay away and your husband attends, the church is splitting over this because they feel that you should not be barred from the church.
Yeah.
They've never had that before. Who sees the police officer at the door for somebody to not be able to go in? You know, but everything got taken out of what I wrote.
Yeah, everything got taken out. That's why it's important for the pastor to sit down with you.
Exactly, and he never did.
Yeah.
He never did.
Well, and that's important because you have to clear the air.
Yes, and I would
be able
to explain to him. Yes. And
it shouldn't get to
guy.
The point where they're going to have you arrested.
Right.
That's
and
ridiculous.
He actually disagreed with that idea. He did say to some other people, I don't want her arrested. This was not my idea, but it was the board that went against me, including my husband. So now you can see where my marriage is at this point.
Oh, brother.
I've got a lot of healing here, and God will work me through it. But I will not back down. And may I say in conclusion here, if you see something going on in your church, be prepared to get kicked out for what you say. Because they would just as soon keep your mouth shut than to create a problem where sin is exposed and accepted.
Well, we need to really pray for Christine and for her family because this...
Thank you.
I mean, it shouldn't be that... The church situations break up families. This thing should be resolved with sitting down with the pastor and sitting down with the deacon board. But we just have 90 seconds before the close of the program, and we want to pray for, Lord, we just ask you to bless Christine. And, Lord, we ask you to resolve this situation.
Amen.
We ask you to put it in the pastor's heart and the deacon board for them to all meet and for everyone to calm down and discuss this incident and to do everything the way you want it done, Lord, decently and in order.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you. Just help Christine, strengthen her, encourage her during this time. And we thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bless her, Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, you raise up a standard.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Lord, for... We know, God, that you're going to straighten this thing out forever for your glory.
Mm.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank
Amen.
You for coming on today, Christine.
Thank you, Susan, and allowing me to share all of that. My goodness, thank you
well,
so
I wanted
much.
You to because I... you know, I had seen that you were talking about it a little bit, and I wanted to get the full story.
Yeah, and you know
what? I'm glad
strength
you did.
Comes through adversity. I would never retract anything that I have done, because I tell you what, it did wake up my congregation. I tell you what, I've had more phone calls and more letters from people who are saying, thank you for what you've done. We needed this, and yes, we need to address it, and yes, we do. Boy, it cost me a lot, but you know what? That's the cost of taking a stand for the truth. Jesus warned us, if you're a follower of mine, you're going to get it. You're going to get it.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
He said that.
I'm getting it. And that makes me a follower of Christ, I guess.
we're going to see victory in this situation.
Absolutely. God is in control.
Oh, you're a blessing. Christine, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susan. I appreciate you and love you.
I love you, too.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And please remember, Christine, in your prayers, that the Lord would work out this whole situation, because we don't like to see families, especially all this strife and confusion in families over church issues. So anyway, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. An interesting program. We have so many things were discussed, and God bless you. Don't forget to, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior, and he'll never let you down. We all go through things in our Christian walk, and yes, we have adversity, but God sees us through, and Jesus Christ loves you today. Don't forget that. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.